Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Today we revisit the episode from Christmas 2022, where I went through some ideas to help parents cope over the Christmas period, because it can be very difficult. If you're struggling or in crisis, I hope one of these methods will help. But also, if you're struggling or in crisis, please reach out to somebody for help over the Christmas period. Okay, so here we go. Welcome to episode 9 of the Fair Parenting Podcast. It's Christmas, and that can be a tough time for alienated parents. Some people see too much of their families at Christmas, and that can cause other problems. But we want to deal with alienated and targeted and abused parents in this episode who may be suffering this Christmas. I want the podcast to start looking at ways of coping. In this episode, we're going to go for a very basic list. In future, I'll be having some experts to come and talk to us and go into more depth. But for right now, on Christmas Day, anyone suffering may just need some quick pointers from which they can try things or go and look up more information on the internet. They're all simple things. I won't be going into the time I joined a monastery or had electric shock treatment. Being serious, I'm not waving a magic wand here or giving secret knowledge. Many of the methods are well known and not specific to trauma from alienation, abuse, or the family court. They can help with what we're going through and in other parts of life. Something doesn't need to be profound to work. For example, many people want to lose weight or get fit, especially at New Year. It's widely known how to do those things, but we still have a lot of people who want to do them and don't. Sometimes it's not a case of knowing what to do, but doing what we know. Action is key, so simple things I mention here can work wonders if you do them. And I'm as guilty as the next person of sometimes knowing that I need to do something and not doing it. These ideas are based on experts in the personal development field, so they do work if applied. We have a diverse audience, so many will have tried these and some won't. If you're sat in despair this Christmas, give one or more of them a go. As I said, I'm no expert, but if this episode reaches and helps one person in need, it's worthwhile.
Number one.
Exercise. Running, weights, classes, swimming, etc. It's well known exercise has mental and physical benefits. If you're feeling down, it can be hard to get motivation. But if you can force yourself onto a treadmill or a workout bench, exercise can transform you. I've had many times when I've been reluctant to go to the gym, but I've never had a time where I've walked out of a gym wishing I hadn't gone. Something magic happens. Do something consistently. You don't have to improve each time. You don't have to do any extra reps. It's just doing the exercise itself to a reasonable level is all you need. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a session. Just keep going. As we saw in lockdown, you can use parks, home equipment. If you're being abused, psychological abuse can be worse than physical abuse. The family court system doesn't seem to recognise this, leaving targeted parents and children in harm's way for months or years. You need to stay fit and healthy mentally and physically to withstand it. So give exercise a go.
Number two.
Meditation. Many successful people speak of the value of meditation for achieving things and for well-being. We'll cover this in a future episode in depth with a meditation expert. For now, there is great content on YouTube. Ray Dalio, who I've spoken about before, discovered meditation in the 1960s as he was a fan of the Beatles, and he found meditation through them. He's an incredibly successful person. He started the world's biggest hedge fund, Bridgewater Associates. He's practiced meditation for decades through personal tragedies and business successes for decades. As well as Ray, if you were to Google famous people and meditation, you would find lots of examples. So many people use it.
Number three.
Counselling. A friend saw what I was going through and came forward and told me he'd been going to counselling for an unrelated matter. Previously, he hadn't told me about that, but he saw how I was suffering and wanted to help. Whether you find a counsellor through public services or private services, consider doing it. Quality and expertise vary, so you may need to look around. A good counsellor can help with their knowledge and insight.
Number four.
Books, podcasts, and films.
Ray Dalio said there are no new problems. What you are going through, others have gone through. You can find books about overcoming adversity or biographies of people who have overcome enormous odds and challenges. I've certainly done this in terms of reading about other people's adversities and their stories and biographies. I found it very useful. Going through the family court may be a matter of life and death, especially if you've been in trauma for years. But it's not unique. Others have been there too, for sure. You're not alone. So one of the small crumbs of comfort is that you can learn from other people's stories of how they cope. One example of a book that I've mentioned before is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It's to do with concentration camps. And he found that the ones who did best were the ones who wanted in some way to touch the future. They had something outside in the future that they needed to do, and they that somehow got them through. As for films, we covered two films in episodes 3 and 5, and that was Inception and Interstellar. They have obvious parental separation themes, and you may enjoy rewatching those or other films about overcoming adversity. But Christmas, an obvious movie to watch, is It's a Wonderful Life. It's a positive tale and worth bearing in mind if you're in dark times. There are podcasts these days on everything, and you can seek out ones that are there and deal with coping with adversity and overcoming challenges and mental health and healing. I won't recommend any books or podcasts or any other films here, because it's all down to personal taste and there's no magic list. But if you've got any that you can recommend, please put them on my Twitter line for people to read, or contact me and we can perhaps discuss them in future episodes. Many great people and great stories are those of who have endured or overcome immeasurable stress. We can draw inspiration and strength from their stories, so you may find it helpful to go and find some of these stories, and hopefully it will give you some inspiration and strength too.
Number 5.
Speaking up. Some people thrive on taking positive action, so this one might be for you. Realise your voice counts and you can make it heard. Sometimes the abuse can feel ignored and alone, but raising your concerns may help. If you live in Britain, you could see your MP, or if in another country, your representative. Raise the issue and ask them to write to the Justice Minister or anyone who can help with your ideas of how the system should be changed. If you need ideas, see the Family Court Reform Coalition report mentioned by Mike Bell in episode 7. A link to the report is in the show notes, and Mike Bell said it can be forwarded to others. My change ideas are in episode 2. If you have other ideas of your own, use those, and I would love to hear them too. You can reach me on Twitter at FairParentingUK or email at podcast@fairparenting.co.uk. As Mike Bell said in episode 7, with many issues, politicians just aren't aware of how bad things are. Awareness is key. So if your way of coping is getting busy and raising awareness, that might help you over Christmas. Along those lines, you can also write tweets and work with people online and offline. You may find that helpful too.
Number 6.
Charity work. Alienation and abuse can cause us to withdraw from the world. That can cause a downward spiral. Do all you can not to withdraw. Some targeted parents cannot even work due to the effects of the abuse. That can leave a vacuum that makes matters worse. One thing that can help is charity work. For example, I'm a member of my local Rotary Club. Every year we do various charity events. The most famous is the Santa Sleigh, which many Rotary Clubs run around Britain. I play Santa sometimes, and sometimes I just do other volunteer work to do with that. It's amazing, and it's inspiring to see the reaction of the children to Santa and the reaction of parents and the volunteers' spirit. It's just an incredible event. Charity work of all types can help, and can also help you cope with parental alienation. I almost walked away on one Santa route this year, as I missed my child so much. In the end, the spirit of the children that were there and the volunteers brought me round. Charity work can give purpose and help others. There's so much need in the world, and you can help. We need to help each other. It's something you can dip into or get heavily involved in, depending on how much time you feel you can give. Helping others by doing charity work is something I could recommend.
Number 7.
Comedy. as the saying goes, comedy is the best medicine. This is not one that I've actually tried. It doesn't sit right with what I would intuitively think, but other people have found it helpful. For example, there was a person called Norman Cousins, quite a famous case. He used comedy shows, comedy TV and comedy films to treat disease. He used to watch films and TV and make himself laugh as much as possible because he believed that physiological response would actually help. It's one that you can try. And then, of course, there is black humour, gallows humour. These sayings exist for a reason. As I say, I haven't sat and watched comedy films and tried to make myself feel better. It's not really what I would do, but it may work for you. And if it does, that's great. It may be magic. You know, you shouldn't feel guilty for laughing. Certainly not. Give it a try. When I want relief from the pain, I'm more likely to speak to somebody, or music's my thing. If comedy works for you, brilliant. Whatever works, there's no right or wrong answer. So this is something that other people have found beneficial. Give it a try, especially over Christmas. Stick something on YouTube or something on Netflix or whatever. If you can make yourself laugh, that's got to be a positive thing.
Number 8.
Personal development. Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Napoleon Hill, Joseph McClendon III, and Mel Robbins are leading lights in the personal development field. I'll put some links to them in the show notes. Many of them have podcasts, YouTube content, books, and live events. There are many other people in the field, and I've been into personal development for many years, long before becoming a parent. I find it really helpful in all sorts of ways. It can work for anyone, whether you want to run a marathon, start a business, start a family, or handle adversity. When going through hell, you may find nothing works all of the time, but personal development tools can make all the difference between sinking and swimming, and you may find tools that you can use in all endeavours for decades to come. Give it a try.
Number 9.
Suicide prevention and self-harm. We're going to have an expert on suicide prevention in a future episode. I gave my thoughts on preventing suicide in episode 1, so perhaps give that a listen. The relevant part of the episode is from 7 minutes 35 seconds onwards of episode 1. Self-harm is related. I never understood why people did this until I spent years in a family court at the hands of an abuser. Now I understand. Please seek help from medical experts or support services if you need them. If you have problems with self-harm or suicidal thoughts, please seek help. Be very understanding to yourself. Most of us have horrible and cruel internal dialogue. I once heard somebody say, if we spoke to others the way we speak to ourselves in our heads, we would be in trouble. And I think that's profound. You may be going through trauma, so don't be too demanding of yourself. Above all, don't commit suicide. Treat yourself well. Don't beat yourself up or be hard on yourself. Treat yourself like you would treat somebody you cared for. Your child needs you to look after yourself.
Number 10.
Self-improvement. This can mean taking up a new hobby. Try a million things, even if they aren't things you normally would. Learn an instrument, for example. Learn a language. Take an evening class or learn to paint. Try everything. You may find distraction at times from your grief and trauma. And in some ways, trauma and alienation may even lead you to try things and meet people that you would not otherwise. Let me be clear, there's no positive from experiencing abuse, but it may lead to some unexpected positives in your search for ways to cope. And also, your child may be delighted if you can suddenly do stand-up comedy or play the guitar.
Number 11.
Animals. No, I'm not talking about your co-parents' nasty solicitors. I'm talking about considering getting a pet, if you haven't got one already. If you've seen your child, they will love it. Either way, if you like animals, you will love it. Animals are used these days in schools and care homes because of the beneficial effects they have. They can be incredibly good in all sorts of ways for your mental health and just life in general. If you're an animal lover, well, I don't need to say any more. They're incredible. Remember, though, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas or lockdown. Lots of them got discarded after lockdown, and every Christmas it's the same story. Don't end up with a pet you don't want. Think carefully, and if it's right for you, whether it's a dog, a cat, or a boa constrictor, consider going for it.
Number 12.
Don't isolate yourself. Call old friends out of the blue, even if you haven't spoken to them for 10 or 20 years. Make new ones. Don't sit with your head in your hands. Force yourself out of the house, even if it's just to sit on a park bench. It's so important not to withdraw and to maintain relationships with friends and family and the outside world. Being abused can make your world seem smaller and your capabilities seem less. You are still the same person you always were. Give yourself a period to wallow if you need it, and don't beat yourself up about that, but try not to wallow too long. Force yourself out into the world if you have to, on your own or with others. Help people, help yourself, improve yourself to fight for your kids or to just be there for when they come to you. It's very damaging what some parents will do to another. It's very painful to go through alienation, but don't withdraw from the outside world. Friends, family, you may meet people through being abused that you wouldn't otherwise have met, and they may help you and they may become lifelong friends. You can't do that if you're staying in all the time and withdrawing from your friends and family. Be wary of that. It's a slippery slope. Most of your friends will want you to call them. Most of your family will want you to call them in your time of need. That's what being friends and family is all about. So don't withdraw. Maintain those social links. So there we are. 12 days of Christmas and 12 ways of coping. The commonalities are to change your state, break negative thoughts and patterns. These are key ideas taught in the personal development world, and they help with many of life's endeavours, positive and negative. There are many negative ways to change your state, such as drink, drugs, junk food, etc. But that just amplifies the damage and can lead to worse if you are being abused for a period of years. Stick to positive ways. The family court, abuse and alienation can bring months or years of undue stress. It's amazing that the system seems to allow this and does little to avoid it. This should never happen, but until things change, we need to cope. I've found nothing works all the time, but different things work at different times. In the moment, whatever works is worth its weight in gold. As John Lennon put it, whatever gets you through the night. It's not an exhaustive list. I will do another episode sometime. If you have some suggestions, please message me. I'm on Twitter at FairParentingUK or email me at podcast@fairparenting.co.uk, and we can include those in future episodes. Or you can add them to my Twitter timeline so that people can see them right now. Above all, don't go downhill. Your children need you. Other parents need you. There is strength in numbers. We need to support each other. If you're at the edge, please don't commit suicide. Find someone you can call, whether it's friends, family or support service. People do care. You just sometimes need to find them. They may be busy, particularly at Christmas. It doesn't mean they don't care. They may just be distracted. Help is out there. Many people come out of things like this and look back and see some positives in what it made of them or the capacity it gave them to cope. Short of death or illness, parental alienation is as bad as it gets. There will be times when nothing works and no amount of good advice will help. Be kind to yourself in those times. Don't dwell on the negative. Stay away from the abyss and call somebody. Many times something will help. Try the things mentioned here and anything else. Explore biographies, personal development, etc. For me, this is the fifth Christmas of abuse. I can't say that your case will be over soon, but I hope that it will be. Abusers, coercive controllers and alienators are less likely to influence a teenager or adult forever. Hang in there. Children grow up, so there is likely much more time after the abuse than the period of suffering. In the end, hopefully karma will have its say. Let's stay around for our children, help each other and get the system changed so that they and others don't have to ever go through this. That's all for now. Best wishes, take care and have a great 2023. Look after yourself. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.